Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoy the program. Right now, it's welcome to the Reverend Tim Costello, the CEO of World Vision Australia, and for a look ahead at what will be the week's big story, the budget, particularly as it may affect aid and welfare agents. Tim, thanks for joining us. Just off the plane from Tokyo, I believe.
That's right, yeah, a little sleep deprived, but the courtesy of the Japanese just amazed me. It was a lovely G20 visit.
Well, we should talk to you about that sometime, but let's talk about the issues of the week. The air is full of noises regarding the budget, and the government seems determined to sell a line that things are going to change, that for some that will be tougher, but for all it will be fairer. What are you hearing and what are the concerns, particularly in the aid and development community?
Look, we'd be devastated if aid took another cut. It took a cut of $250 million less than 6 months ago. Just before the last election, the coalition abolished the predicted growth of $4.5 billion extra, which would have got us just to 0.5% of GNI. The world, including Australia, the rich world, promised 0.7%, 70 cents in $100. The Scandinavians, the Brits are all there. We were way behind and said, no, well, we'll get to 0.5. Well, that's gone, $4.5 billion, a haircut of $250 million. And if there's another cut this budget, it would be really quite shattering.
Are Australians really that mean when it comes to overseas aid? You've mentioned, of course, the Brits and the Scandinavians already reaching the 70 cent mark. We signed up to the Millennium Development Goals, and where our budget deficit, though it's a great one, isn't in the same sort of shape that the Brits are.
No, the Brits had double dip recession, and David Cameron, a Conservative Prime Minister, very passionately said, we will not balance the books on the backs of the poor, speaking about people living in absolute poverty. And, of course, those people are a long way from Britain. In Australia, they're our nearest neighbours. We're in the region where most of the world's poor live. Of the 22 nearest countries, 20 are poor, except for Singapore and New Zealand. So, yes, we are really very mean at that level of government aid. Privately, Australians are very generous in the top two or three, and that makes me proud. But our governments have failed to keep their promises. Labor kept pushing out the 0.5, which was we should have reached by 2015. They pushed it out twice. Effectively, the coalition have abandoned it, saying, well, it's an aspiration, and you know, even the National Audit Commission said we shouldn't even have a target of 0.5, which isn't just a renouncing of, you know, an international promise. It seems to me their argument doesn't apply to other areas. You know, we have to sign up, we are told, to 2% of GNI for defence, and who can tell me if $12 billion on fighter strike aircraft was a good expenditure of money. But on this one, aid suffers because of two things. One, people say, well, anything that goes overseas is probably lost in corruption. Well, we know that is a very strong prejudice. It's not true. We've tracked the money. The Independent Overseas Development Effectiveness body here in Australia has tracked the money. It's not true. The second misconception is, of course, well, it doesn't matter. The people who receive aid don't vote, and even though it has a disproportionate impact on them, because for them it's literally clean water or education or health, that's at survival levels or below, it's easy to cut. It's an easy target.
Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has also indicated there will be some redirection of aid, a strategic redirection. What does she mean by that, and what's going on here?
Well, the direction is more what's called aid for trade, and we're still trying to work out what that means. Certainly Andrew Robb, who was in Tokyo, where I was for G20, was saying to business, lobby your governments and the G20 countries to increase overseas aid for trade. Look, I think it means governance. It certainly means more business investments. It may, and I hope this isn't what it results in, just mean boomerang aid for Australian businesses, which is really just a trade policy. It's not an aid policy, although aid certainly opens up when it's used generously, trade opportunities. But that focus, as far as I understand aid for trade, is better governance, and we've done a little bit of that in the Solomons, and I think that is very good. But we're still trying to work out exactly what that will all mean.
Let's bring the discussion home. You've had many years before your association with World Vision working with domestic welfare and charitable areas, particularly your work with the Baptist Church, but also in public life in St Kilda. Is there not just a whiff of blame the victim in some of the rhetorical messages being sent out? Say when the Minister for Social Services, Kevin Andrews, in the last couple of days declares, quote, the days of easy welfare for younger Australians are over.
Yeah, look, I think the great question for a civil society is where is the sacrifice coming from? And again, is it disproportionate in terms of its impact on those who are most vulnerable? And we know about, the single parents' benefit and how difficult it is to live on that. We know about disability. There may well be a blowout that needs tightening, but Australians have long believed it's built into their cultural DNA to say this should be a fair go. The measure of inequality, the Gini coefficient, has seen it increase. Increase is bad. When it's zero, it means we're all equally sharing the wealth. And I think we're at 0.33. America's very unequal at 0.38. When you cut expenditure that's raised through tax is the main way to address inequality. And the impact of cutting expenditure, because at the end of the day, the major social justice piece of legislation is, in fact, the Income Tax Assessment Act, which might surprise the listeners, but the fact that it's progressive, the rich will pay more, and we will deal with inequality and vulnerability through redistribution, is one of the great aims of taxing. A US Supreme Court Justice, Oliver Wendell Holmes, said, I like paying tax. It's the price of civilization. And for us, we'd say it's the price of a fair go, that cultural DNA. So I think in this budget, the cuts to expenditure have to be, have the question run over them. Who is this impacting? How vulnerable are they? How fair is this? I'm one who doesn't mind the levy, the debt levy on those on 180,000 and more. Whether it's a broken promise or not, I think we have to actually ask the substance questions of if we are going through massive cuts of expenditure and it is impacting the poor and maybe being a block to redistribution and equality, how are we actually addressing those who are much better able to pay the price of civilization?
You mentioned the broken promise there. There's another element to the broken promise theme that I think is implied but not articulated, and that is the implied promise that things would be steady as they go. That is, we will not raise taxes, we will not do other things. Now we may be looking, if there is substance in the rhetoric, at a significant shift in what Australians have come to regard as broadly the social contract. That is, a different way of doing business. And this could be a quite substantial change.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly the contest. Politics is always a matter of contest. It's really about who has power and gets what they want and who misses out and loses. That's essentially what a budget is. It's a statement of moral priorities. It's not a set of figures. And I think in terms of that social contract, we've always had a strong sense here that taxation, for example, isn't just about revenue raising, it's about redistribution. Taxation's also about repricing. We know hydrocarbons aren't priced properly. And we know it's about representation, which is a social contract. Boston Tea Party, no taxation without representation. The opposite is true too. No representation without taxation that is fair, that is transparent. And I think in that whole debate, when you actually have a taxing system that people say, where's my money going? What do I believe in? You're talking moral priorities. Is the social contract, representation and taxation, actually transparent and fair, and does it carry people? Or have governments literally lost the power, particularly before elections, to ask any sacrifice of the electorate, to be transparent with the electorate, to say, actually, we can't promise one thing before an election and do something after because you won't vote us in? Have we lost that social contract of saying we need to make a sacrifice and transparently this is what we'll have to do, and we're inviting you as mature people into this common journey? And I think that part of this social contract is fraying.
Tim Costello, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us, and go and get a good night's sleep.
Thank you very much.
Tim Costello, CEO of World Vision on Sunday Night. This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.